just want to tell you something that to me, the whole mitzvah. See, many times. I keep repeating it, but it's you always see it again and again. The fact is that people that to have mitzvahs, to understand what mitzvahs are, requires a certain degree of perfection, and a change in a person's entire framework and way of thinking. You see, because a person can very readily understand the idea that if you do these actions, so then God repays you. See, that's a person that really hasn't changed much. It's just what he desires and his whole life and his way of thinking has remained the same, but what he's come up with is a new method to achieve his old goals. You understand what I mean? That is the average person. Okay, the average person. And, I mean, the Torah is made for the average person too. It's a big Torah. And the average person is included. But that is not... the individual is not really going to be changed and partake of the perfection of Torah. You see, he'll be in the system. He's the Yisrael. But it is not really he's not partaking of the whole objective of the Torah. The objective of the Torah is a different type of life. Qualitatively differentiated, everything the person sees is different, a total different value system, a different way of going about of achieving the individual's goal, and a completely different panorama. The person sees a different world than the average person. It is not that he's discovered a new method of attaining his old desires and the older goals. It's a completely different way of life. And that's why what confuses people is because halacha demands that you be a stickler to the nth degree in halachic performance. While that is, people get confused, because since they see that, so they think that this is the whole thing. Because you see that if the lulav is cracked and a little thing off, so you're not making the mitzvah. Or in all mitzvahs, the mitzvah has to be to the nth degree of perfection, and if it's missing one thing, all the kavanas don't help you, and there's no kima mitzvah. So when people see that, so they think, oh, that's where it's at. So therefore, you see, the important thing is to do the mitzvahs maisios, and then you'll have the good, because everybody's looking for the good, and the Torah says the good comes from mitzvahs, so people get that idea. But that idea is equally wrong. See, that idea, that's why it's hard to catch on to the system of the Torah, because it's not as it appears at first sight. And people get distracted. So that's what the Chavos are about. Excuse me? The real essence of Torah, they haven't come near. They're mibachotz. Okay. Yeah, it's good to be outside the Ramses, people that are outside the palace. It's with their backs facing the palace. That's good also. At least they're in the proximity, in the vicinity. I mean, it's also something. Not take away, but there's no comparison. There's no comparison. So if a person wants to be there, fine. But what fools people is the fact that they see that there's such an emphasis on the particulars of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. So they think that's where it is. No, that's not where it is either. You see? If that's not where it is, so then the whole thing is perfection. So it's not important that you do the mitzvah. No, wrong again. It's very important that you do the mitzvah. You see? People have a hard time straddling both things and seeing the underlying unification in both things. Not a simple matter. They get thrown from one side to the other, you know? That's why I find the people. There was one time there was a group of people that learned the Maran Avochim, and they decided that you don't have to do mitzvahs. The Rambam held you don't have to do mitzvahs. You know, it's insane, it's insanity. But that's because people, the anyone knows anything of the Rambam. Everything, Diktuke mitzvahs to the nth degree. His whole life was spent his whole life in in analyzing the Dikduke HaMitzvahs. That's stupidity. But the thing is, it's because people can't find their bearings in the system of Torah, because it's not an ordinary system. It's not an ordinary system like a man-made system. In a man-made system, you have a philosophy, or you have religious rituals. This is a different kind of a system. There's no rituals, there's halacha, and the philosophy is tied in very carefully. There's a tie-in between the meticulous performance and the exactness of a mitzvah and between perfection. Tie-in between those two things. Yeah. But the... Yeah. Do you know what the tie-in is? I mean, just basically to give you an idea of the answer. I mean, it's something which does require, I mean, an analysis and understanding. It's not an answer that I would publicize to the Hamon Am, because, you know, the Rambam's very careful about what you say to the Hamon Am. He mentions in the Mora, you know, you have to be careful. Hamon Am is a different phenomenon, but the B'nai Yeshiva is a different level. So the answer is as follows. Really, Avraham Avinu shows you that a person can reach the highest level of perfection without mitzvahs, on his own, in Ur Kasdim, with all the Avodah Zarah, he reached the highest level. So you see that it's not necessary. It is not impossible. It's not impossible for a human being to reach perfection without the mitzvahs. I mean, the last one that did it was Avraham Avinu. But at any rate, that we know of. I mean, but at any rate, it still shows you the principle of perfection. But the fact is that an ordinary person will never be, not only an ordinary person, even a very superior person, will never be able to attain perfection in that way. And if he just started from scratch, forget it, he wouldn't have a chance. But not only wouldn't he have a chance if he just started from scratch, but if he didn't have mitzvahs, he wouldn't have a chance. And that's really why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs are the vehicles of perfection. And even if a person would do it without mitzvahs, he would do it quicker and better with mitzvahs. So mitzvahs are very necessary. That's what the Rambam says. Even Moshe Rabbeinu did a mitzvah that perfected him, even though he couldn't fulfill the mitzvah technically, but he started the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah of mitzvah perfects an individual. But a mitzvah mitzvah that perfects an individual has to be an action which brings him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many ways, not just in one way, but in many ways. In one of the ways is that the performance that he does must be a performance of the highest, structured by the highest level of Chachma. That's what it must be. Cannot be a stupid action. It must be an action that's crafted with the highest level of chachma that a person can attain. And that's why every mitzvah is formulated with the highest degree of intellectual perfection. A degree that is so great that a human being will never be able to arrive at the nth level of understanding it. So, but he performs it in accordance to the level that he does understand it. Of course, it is a type of a science. The science of halacha that God gave us is a kind of a science that even if you don't reach the ultimate level, you can have knowledge. Man can have knowledge on some level. So the Chazal say about Rabbi Meir, we didn't pass on Rabbi Meir because they couldn't be Yerid L'Sof Daito. That means that he was such a genius that the greatest minds couldn't really fully understand him. So that means he was in a different sphere, in a totally different sphere. But it doesn't mean that they didn't have any understanding. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't have any understanding. If a person learns, like the Rambam says in the introduction, learns the method of learning, of understanding Torah, Oh, yeah, he has a level of understanding. But that's the nature of the science that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The science of Allah. A unique science. A science that's its own, that has its own, its own rules and its own system, its own way of thinking, special way of thinking. So any performance that the only performance that the Torah recognizes is a performance that is aimed at perfection, but simultaneously is intrinsically structured with the greatest chachma. That's the, of course, a person has to know that lifnei Hashem there's only chachma. And just to do an action that has no chachma, not nothing. That's why if a person, insofar as a person doesn't understand a mitzvah, he's lacking not just in Talmud Torah, he's lacking in asiyas mitzvah. He's lacking. Rashi says, "Umadatem osam u'shmartam osasam." So Rashi in Dvarim that says that if a person doesn't understand the mitzvahs, it's worthless. His performance is worthless. Doesn't mean he's free not to do it. But his performance has no value. Rashi says in Dvarim. Rashi mentions in Dvarim. Because the performance has to be a performance of man. And for Adam, it must be Chachma. Must be Chachma. So that's the tie-in. That's the tie-in. So the mitzvah, you see, has many dimensions to it. The mitzvah has a purpose, an objective. For instance, if you'll say the mitzvah of, like, say for Kedusha, what could be, you don't have to go too far to understand what the perfection is. So it means that a person can't eat everything. He has to be able to refrain, to overcome his animalistic desires and say this, as hungry as he is, he can't eat this. But, you see, if the Torah would have just said, refrain from eating animal A, B, C, D, that's it. I mean, there wouldn't be any chachma in the mitzvah. But to understand, to know the simonim, and to understand the halachas of what's a trefa, what's not a trefa, and the vela, and understand even the simonim aminim, even though what the mitzvah is itself, what the wise of the mitzvah say, and the whole thing. By the time the person gets finished, he's involved in a sea of chachma and ideas and perfection. So the mitzvah, while the mitzvah serves an objective in one dimension, to cause a person to exercise self-control, the vehicle is a vehicle of infinite chachma. See, it's not the perfection. The way the Torah works is that the mitzvah has an objective, but in transit, so to speak, as you're traveling along with chachma. Cannot be otherwise. Can't be just restraint is not perfection. The very activity has to be endowed with infinite chachma. And the person has to understand it as much as he can. He has a finite understanding. But that's fine. It's okay. I mean, as long as his level, he understands, and he does the mitzvah, so then he's perfected. So that's why the Torah really is multidimensional. But there's one thing that flows through everything. And that's Chachmas Hashem. That's Chachm in every area. No area without Chachm. Okay? That's really the connection. That's really the connection. You can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't serve God without Chachmah. Not possible. Okay. But at the same time, so that's why every mitzvah has a very precise formula, conceptual and mathematical formula that is very precise. And if you don't adhere to it, if you lose the whole mitzvah. But nevertheless, it's wrapped up in perfection itself. But people lose sight of one because of the other, as I mentioned before. And the same thing is true with Lashon Hara. The mistake of the people, a lot of people, the Mechabrim that wrote about Lashon Hara, is that they get very wrapped up in the technical structure. Not that that's bad, you have to know the technical structure. As I said before, you know, people get caught one way or the other. A human being cannot attach significance. What's more significant? There's no such thing. I mean, that's Chachmas Hashem. can't say more or less. It's all, everything in the system, you see, everything in the system is indispensable. And you can't make any, you can't say this is better, more, this is, if you, once you change something, that's it. So, in Lashon Hara, what I'm trying to mention is that a lot of people who wrote about Lashon Hara, they try to emphasize the mitzvah structurally, and also in terms of trying to be mezareis the om, so they used certain methods, which I'm not saying they're wrong, mezareis the om. I mean, there is such a thing as mezareis the om. But mainly, they didn't really show them what Lashon Hara is in its full scope, in terms of perfection. There you go, of course, in Chazal, a person who does Lashon Hara, says, Nanash this way, Nanash that way, they go into the Onshim and the thing, and the, fine. But the truth of the matter is, as long as you're in that system, you're really not showing me a difference in the way you view the whole world. You know what I mean? You're just saying, try to avoid this. You know, it's you don't like this, and if you do this, so then you can be nanash this way. So that means that I still have my same value system, and you're attacking me with my value system, and you're saying that, well, you value this, you like these things, you want to have these. Well, you talk Lashon Hara, you're going to lose them. See, or vice versa. If you don't talk Lashon Hara, God will give you whatever you want. That means that you haven't, as long as you see that, as long as you see, and that includes all these things about you know, you're the person will burn in Gehenna and all these things, that is all where the individual has not changed one iota from his value system. But you see, you see the Torah really looked at Lashon Hara as something far, far more than that. It looked at Lashon Hara as an area where the person that's medaber Lashon Hara is a different person. It's different. He lives in a different world than the person who is not medaber Lashon Hara. Two different worlds. So one world, and the energy and the impetus is very powerful, equally in the one world as in the other world. And it's a choice almost of where the energy of the person is going to go. You see, and you see that from the pasuk. Where's the pasuk of Lashon Hara? Pasuk Lashon Hara. So you say Lamed Dalad, L'dov B'Shana Seven Shabbos. L'dov B'Shana says Tamach Name of the Melech Vayigashir Vayelach. So it says L'chu Vanim Shimuli Yiras Hashem Alametchem. So I mean, if Dov Melech is talking about Limud and Yiras Hashem, he's talking about a whole Limud. It's a whole study. Mio isha chafetz chayim, oiv yomim luros tov. This is not just saying, don't do this because if you do, you'll be nanash. No, he's saying this is a whole way of life. A person that wants life, desires life, oiv yomim luros tov, a whole different panorama, unraveling a whole different view, a whole different way of a whole different derech chayim. You see. Nitzol shoncha meira usfasecha midaber mirma. You see, so really, you see in David HaMelech that the idea of lashon hara. I mean, as long as you don't pick up the psukim, because the psukim are really the framework of perfection. As long as you don't explain what these psukim are, what it means, then you miss the point. I mean, you miss the point insofar as really understanding the true level of Torah in terms of perfection, the whole change of a person's way of life and way of thinking, you see. it's interesting. The pasuk everyone knows, Migashkos Chaim Yevel Marastov Nitzol Lashon Chomeira. That's Lashon Hara, right? Usfasecha Midaber Mirma. What is that? People don't talk about that. Talk about you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. No one says you shouldn't speak Mirma. You shouldn't speak Lashon Mirma. You see? So, what is Mirma? I mean, what is Mirma? Apparently, David HaMelech equated the two in terms of perfection. So, you see that even though there's a Tzuras is a tsuras lashon hara, but lashon hara in terms of as a mitzvah b'tsurasa is one thing, but when you look at lashon hara in terms of the realm of perfection, there is something analogous to it. It has an analog. The analog is mirma. Nitzol Hashem is the pasuk. Nitzol Hashem chameiros v'asachem davar mirma. They're equated. They're equated. Both are equal in terms of perfection. It's an interesting thing. So what is mirma really? What is mirma? What is mirma? What does it say? Pasuk says by pasuk in by the Achim. What's the Lashon? Vayanu b'nei Yaakov es... Yaakov... And ves... Ah, ves vaydaber. Mirva daber. Yeah, yeah, right. Vayanu b'nei Yaakov es Shechem ves b'no... Ves chamor aviv. B'mirma vaydaber. Mirma. So what is mirma? Mirma means... Mirma means, it means trickery. It means trickery. Deceit. It's deceit. So it means to say that the individual who lives a life where he's attached to deceit, it means that that kind of a person that lives his life and uses as that was deceit over there. Was that wasn't evil deceit? That was in order to save their lives. But yeah, but the but that's separate. But the word is the same word. Mirma is used. It means deceit, untruth, cunning. So it means to say that the individual is engaged l'ramos as abrios. It means to fool individuals. So his speech is a vehicle of deceit, and through the deceit he attains certain goals. He attains his goals. That's really, according to David HaMelech, that's the same imperfection in terms of the perfection and imperfection of the person. That's the same thing as Lashon Hara. That's a that's a clue, basically. That's a clue. Now you see, for instance. You see, for instance, if you just think that it's happenstance, and you see, for instance, over here, Pasuk says, yeah, Hashem. It's Tehillim Kuf Kaf. Shir Malas of Hashem, but Batzaroso Li Karasi Vayanini. So the pasuk says, Hashem Matzila Nafshi Misfas Sheker Miloshon Ramiya. Mayitin Lacha Umayosef Lach Loshon Ramiya. Is it Ramiya? And Chazal say, Mayitin Lach Mayosef Lashon Ramiya. So Gemara says in Erchem Daf Tezvav that it's a reference to Lashon Hara. So you see that Ramiya and Lashon Hara are equated in terms of perfection. The Gemara is on Daf Tezvav on the base. Amar Biechen, Amar Shem Biesi Ben Zimra, May Dechsiv Mayitin Lach Mayosef Lashon Ramiya. You see, Rashi says, "Ma'ayitin l'chom ma'yosef l'ch, Oda Kadosh Baruch Hu Shmira Shelot Tesaper Lashon Hara." Rashi says, "Rashi says Shelot Tesaper Lashon Hara," because he says, it's a funny chazal. It's Amalak Kadosh Baruch Hu Lashon. The mashal, God said to Lashon, "Kol evar shaladim zekufim v'ata mutl. Kol evar shaladim mibuchutz v'ata mibufnim. Lo od el shikafti l'ch shtei chamos achas shel etzem v'achas shel basa." Mayitin l'chol mayosef l'chol lashon ramiya. What more could I do? Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so to speak, what more could I do? What more shmira can I give? Shlo tisapra lashon hara. So you see that lashon ramiya and lashon hara are identified by Chazal as the same thing. As the same thing. As the same thing. Okay, and here. The other one that Chazal identifies is Talmud Beis. They're also Lashon Hara. Over here, it doesn't say the word Mirma, but the idea is clear. Pasuk says, when it talks about Lashon Hara, Hoshiyat Hashem, Dovah HaMelech says, Ki Gomar Chosid. Because there's no more around the person that's a chosid. Ki fasu emunim in bnei adam. Emunim means people of truth. Bale amana. It means people of truth have disappeared, have gone. See? then he goes on, he says, what does he mean? Shav yidabru ish esrei ehu. They speak, shav means that they shav means it's a lie. It's a lie. Shav, it means for nothing. Shav yidabru ish esrei ehu. Sfas chalakos. Glib tongue. It's a glib tongue. They put in today's language it means a spin. The lawyers call it a spin. You gotta put a spin on. That's the lashon, the sfas chalakos, the glib tongue. Beleva lev yidaberu. They speak with two hearts. See? One heart is what they're really thinking, and the other one is what they're saying. You see? Yachrei sarashem kol sifse chalakos. God should cut out all the glib tongues, smooth tongues. Lashon midaberes gedolos. Come back to this. Lashon midaberes gedolos. The language that speaks haughtiness. Lashon is identified with haughtiness. And he continues with that theme. Asher amru, they said, Lashonenu nagbir. They said with our tongue, with our words, we will be successful. You see? Sifaseinu itano. We know how to talk. We'll use speech to attain our goals. Miyadon lano. Who can stop us? Basically, that's the... That Chazal identified these psukim as the psukim of Lashon Hara. So see that Lashon Hara involves a lot more than just a specific technical statement. It's a whole philosophy and the whole Derech HaChaim is tied up in the Yisra Lashon Hara, the abstention from Lashon Hara. Okay. The reason many times people give reasons for mitzvahs and they overlook what the pasuk says and miss the whole idea of pasuk. Pasuk is a different reason. Mi oisha chafetz chayim oev yomim liros tov nitzel lashon chamera. Doesn't give any other reason. So apparently the greatest reason is that a person that engages in lashon hara just doesn't have a life, doesn't live. It's not called living. So it's his own. He's not called living, and it's not possible. It's not possible for him to be roeh tov. He could never really have a satisfying, happy existence. Just not possible. That's really what the pasuk says, and that's the real reason that a person should be nizer, because it's evil and it removes him from any kind of true happiness in life. That's what the pasuk says. Okay. I mean, I'm not faulting Sifrei Musa that try to convince people of other reasons because of onesh or other reasons. Like I said, if a person's nizah from an avera, for whatever reason, it's also a level. But that's not really a high level because there the person hasn't changed their system, as we mentioned last week. Basically, their idea of good and their idea of evil has not changed. It's the same thing. But the only thing is they're afraid that what they consider is evil will befall them, and that what they consider is good will not happen to them. But they haven't changed their idea of what good and evil is. So that's a low level. The real idea is the idea in the pasuk. Mi'or shechofetz chayim means there's a different concept of what good and evil is. And once a person understands that concept, then he's on a different level, and it's a different kind of shmira from Lashon Hara. It's a shmira from Lashon Hara that results from a natural understanding of what it is and what the benefits of being nizah from Lashon Hara is, and not because of an extraneous kind of a thing that is really nothing more than using the system that they live in, the shallow system that they live in, you see, in order to encourage them to refrain from Lashon Hara. So, but anyway, getting back to where we left off, we were doing a chazal on Daf Tezvav Amid Beis, I believe, in Erchin. Yeah. Mayitin l'cho mayosef. So Chazal say, Mayitin l'cho mayosef loshen remiyah. And we said that loshen hara is tied to remiyah, because it says netzol loshen l'cho meira musfasecha midaber mirma. So you see that mirma, which is a kind of, I mean, descriptively, cunning and trickery in speech, where a person has ulterior motives, hidden motives, is really a component, is really tied very closely to Lashon Hara. Mirma. And that's what it says, Mayit Lucha Mayosef Lashon Remiya. So it means that there's a deceptive, deception. Is what Lashon Remiya is. Man, when man functions in a deceptive way. So that's all a part of Lashon Hara. You see, Chazal say it's the same thing. The Pasuk identifies it. It's all Lashon Chomeros, Vasachem Daber Mirma. I think a lot of people just, like I said, they don't look carefully in the Pasuk. The Pasuk really has eye-opening points on what it is, what the whole idea is. But anyways, Chazal say the same way. We showed that many psukim tie them together. Yeah. So I just wanted to define what Chazal is saying. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Lashon. So the Gemara Chazal give a mashal. God says to the Lashon, Kol evar shel adam zekufim v'ata mutl. Kol evar shel adam mibachutz v'ata mibifnim. V'lo od el shikafti l'cha shtei chamos. Achas shel etzem v'achas shel basa. Mayitin l'cha mayosef Lashon Remiya. Chazal say that the plain pshat in the pasuk is that there's no gain, which is obviously the true pshat. It means that a person, when they use Lashon Remiya, they think that they've made a tremendous gain, but the truth of the matter is, it's a tremendous loss. There is no, the gain is totally imaginary, and the loss is real. So, but Chazal take it as a derech mashal, because the Torah is nedreshes in different ways, that it also means, it's a derech mashal, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Lashon, that the Lashon is lying down, and it's protected, and it's mibifnim, and it's protected with two types of protections, and still, what more could you do? What more could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have done to prevent the person from speaking Lashon Hara? Okay, so what is the mashal basically? I mean, it's very nice, but the fact that a person can very easily open his mouth and his teeth, and the fact that he's lying down doesn't really make any difference. I mean, it doesn't seem to. On the contrary, it seems that the chachma of the guf would demand that that's the way it should be. Positioned properly, it works very well. Nobody, I never had anybody have trouble with talking Lashon Hara. Tongue wasn't working, the teeth went away. Never heard such a thing. So what are Chazal telling you basically? What is the mushal? What's the idea of the mushal? So the Ram says Nagdama to the Mar Nevuchim that there are two kinds of mashalim. Sometimes a mashal, every point is another idea, and sometimes there's one central idea that goes through all the points. In this case, I think the mashal of Chazal, the mashal is really of the second type. It's not that each one represents a different idea, but they really are all enhancements of one idea that's going through the mashal. Okay, just as some simplifying. What is the idea? Okay. The idea is that there's no way to prevent Lashon Hara. That's what it means. There's no way to stop it. That's basically what it means. Mayitin l'cho mayosef Lashon Remiya means there is nothing that could ever stand in the way and prevent the person from talking Lashon Hara. That's the mashal. Mayit l'cho mayosef. No matter what, the person is going to do it. So there's no way to stop it. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. But the Gemara says later something that would seem to contradict that. But yet, not really, when you look at it carefully. Not going to stop it. There's nothing going to stop it. Okay? Yeah. But, yeah. Nevertheless, the Gemara asks later, Mai takanoso shel mesapre lashon hara. So what is the takana? So So the Gemara says, Im Talmud Chacham Hu, Yasok B'Torah. Okay, Shinema, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishle. Mar pe loshen eitz chayim, v'ein loshen ela loshen hara. Shinema, chetz shochet l'shana. V'ein eitz ela Torah, Shinema eitz chayim ila machzikim bo. Okay, so first of all, it shows you an interesting thing, what the Gemara says. So this would seem to contradict what the Gemara says before, there's nothing can prevent it, but not completely. The mere fact that the Gemara asks my takanaso is really in line with the idea that there's nothing in the realm of the normal that's going to stop a person from talking Lashon Hara. And it's an amazing thing. It's an interesting thing. The vigilance, apparently, Chazal held that no matter what you do, you're going to get caught up in it. There's only one way, Chazal say, and it's interesting. Chazal say, Im Talmud Chacham. If he's a Talmud Chacham, then Torah will help. Which also shows you that a Talmud Chacham can also be a Baal Lashon Hara. It's an amazing thing. A Talmud Chacham can be a Baal Lashon Hara. And there was, I mean, the purpose of Tanakh is really, one of the purposes of Tanakh is really to show different personalities in order to, through those personalities, to teach you about the Derech HaChaim of Torah. And there was a personality of such a type. That was a Talmud Chacham and was a Baal Lashon Hara. You know who it was? Doeg Hadomi. Doeg Hadomi was the greatest Talmud Chacham. And he was a Baal Lashon Hara. Yeah. The Gemara talks about it in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, of Kufav on the base. The Gemara says, Omar Yitzchak, my dechsiv. Matis Halel Boro Hagibor Chesed Kel Kolayom. So that's in Tehillim Nun Beis. Of course, Chazal didn't just take this pasuk. Stam, the pasuk really is the pasuk is in Tehillim Nun Beis. Lam Natzeach Maskel Adov Bevo Doeg Adomi Vayagel Lishol Vayomalo Bo David Ol Beis Achimelach. So the Perek and Tillim is about Doeg Hadomi. Next pasuk is Matis Halel Baro'o Hagibor Chesed Kel Kol Hayom. Yeah, and then it goes on. Havos Tachshav Lashon Echa. Kesam Lutosh Ose Remiyah. Again, you see Remiyah. Yeah, Havos, the word Havos means imagination. The Tirgum says Is Regushta, means emotions. Havos is what the person imagines. Yeah. So Chazal say that Matis Halel Barah Gibor Chesed Kel Kolayom Amalah Kadosh Baruch Ledoi Lo Gibor Batorato. Aren't you a great person in Torah? Matis Halel Barah. So why do you feel? Why do you take pride in evil? Lo chesed kale notu olecha kolayon. Yeah. So yeah. So Rashi, lo chesed Torah olecha, lo chacham b'Torah ato, dechsiv v'Torah chesed l'Hashem. He says that's the way you get l'Hashem Torah. So yeah. Then the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak, my dechsiv l'Rosh Amal Akim malachol l'saper chuki, Amal Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'doeg harosha. Malachol esaper chuki, kishata magil parshas meratzchem, uparshas mesaper lashon hara mata dorish b'ham, v'tisa berisi aleficha. What does v'tisa berisi aleficha? It means that my bris, which is the Torah, is only on your tongue. Rashi says v'lo b'lev. Amar Ravami, Ravami says toras ein torasas, ein torasas shel doeg elo misofo luchutz. That the Torah of those will only be suffer l'chutz, not believe. It's an amazing thing. I mean, so here you see that the Novi gives a depiction of a strange individual, a Talmud Chacham Rasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu called him a Rasha. It's an amazing thing. Yeah.
What did he do with
it? I will soon see. But Talmud Chacham Rasha, which means, and you see when Chazal say. That when Chazal say that the You want Chazal say in Talmud Chacham Hu Yasak B'Torah, so we made the correct deduction. In Talmud Chacham Hu Yasak B'Torah means the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham will not remove him from Lashon Hara. It's an amazing thing, which corroborates what we said before, that nothing can stop him. Basically, what Chazal is saying, I don't care how vigilant you are, all the, no matter how many Sifrei Musa you learn, it will not stop it. That's what Chazal said. And even your big Talmud Chacham still will not stop it. It's an amazing Chazal. The only way, Chazal say, is the only way is Torah. But Torah, you have to understand what Chazal mean by Torah. It says in Talmud Chacham, he's already learning Torah. He's already learning Torah. But Chazal allude to that. They corroborate this idea in Sanhedrin, where they say Doeg Adomi was learned Torah all the time. But he says, Ein Torasso Elo Min HaSofo Olochutz. So apparently there's two types of Torah. There's a Torah Min HaSofo Olochutz, and there's a Torah Belev. When Chazal say that Torah is the only thing that helps, it means only a certain kind of Torah, Belev, which is a corroboration of the very important, I keep mentioning it, but the introduction of the Chovas Alvavas, which is really basic yisod in Yahadus that is overlooked, and that is that it's not mitzvahs that can, not mitzvahs alone that can protect the individual, or even Torah that can protect the individual, but these things guide a person and are the means and vehicles of perfection. But the striving of the individual must be for perfection, and if it's not, nothing helps. Even the greatest Talmud Chacham. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Doeg Adomi is the character in the Navi that is the Talmud Chacham Russia. It's an amazing phenomenon. Amazing phenomenon. Yeah. Let's take a look at the Pesukim, you see. Suppose it is. Shmuel Aleph Chaf Aleph. Vayokom Vayelach Yehonasan Bohoir. Vayovo David Nova. Nova Elachimelach HaKoeh. Vayecher Elachimelach Likras David. Vayom Alo, Madua Tolavadecho, Vayish Enitoch. Yeah. Then it says, then Vayom Adova, Hamel Tivani Dova, Yom Alay, Ishal Yeda Ma'umas Adova. So he told him, Hashem Echashlecho, okay. Then the Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says, just a second, It says, Pasuk says, Vishom Ish, Inov, Visham Inov, Ish me avde shol bayomahu, netzo lifnei adeshem. Ushmo doeg hadomi. Abir horoe mashel shol. Rashi says, netzo lifnei adeshem, otzer atzmo lifnei ohel moed, laasok batara. Amazing thing. Can't be a bigger Talmud Chacham than that. Avir horoim, Av Bezdin, Rashi says. Amazing thing, huh? Amazing thing. Now, it's interesting, and this is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called a Russia. So, well, it's interesting. What did he do? Basically, he revealed to Shaul that David came to Nov, and that Achimelech and helped him out. And then, because of that, Shaul killed out Nov Yerachanim. But it's very interesting when you take a look at how he told Shaul. Something very interesting. You see, Shaul, of course, was ill. I mean, he was... Shaul had mental touches of mental illness. And it's an amazing thing, but you see, the Navi doesn't blame him for that aspect of his personality. He's pretty much excused for a lot of things he did because he was mentally ill. But part of his disease was a kind of a paranoia that he had. So it says, Vayishma Shol Kinoda David Vanoshim Sharito Vishol Yoshev Vagiva Tacha Soeshel Baroma Vachaniso Biyodo Vacholavadav Nitzav Malav. So it says, "Vayomer Shaul Avodav Anitzavim Alav." Shaul said to the people that are around him, his servants, "Shimun Abnei Yamin, Gam Lekulchem Yitin Beishai Sodas Ukromim, Lekulchem Yosim Sari Alafim Sari Meos." Is David Malach going to do for you what I did for you? In other words, then he says, "Ki Kishartem Kulchem Alai." Says you've all conspired against me. Ve'in Goles Ozni Bechros Bini in Ben Yishai. He says, no one told me. No one, there's no loyalty. And no one told me when my own son made a bris with David. Vein chola mikem alai. And no one became sick over me. An additional complaint, in other words. That a true friend, he says, is mishtatef b'tzara shel chavera. It means that he feels for his chava. V'haftol recha kamocha. He says, vein chola mikem alai. Nobody's getting sick over me. He says, v'goles osni. And to tell me what happened. Ki hekim b'niyas avdi olai la'orev kayom azeh. My own son, he says, went and he took my enemy to lie in waiting for me. Okay. Vayan doe gadomi vahu nitzav alav deshov ayoma. Ra'isi es ben yishai bon nove alachim melech ben achituv. Vayisho lo bar Hashem v'tzeda nosin lo v'tzcharev goes v'pushti nosin lo. Okay, that was it. Then vayisho hamelech v'goes alachim melech ben achituv. And he tried to answer, but he killed him. As a matter of fact, the one that the Melech was mitzvah to kill him was Doeg Adomi. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, what? Yeah. Right. But the point is, what is the point in the parak? What is the, if you have a sensitivity for what happened, what do you see over there? You see an interesting thing. It wasn't, you imagine that it was just a Russia and wanted to be Mesapa Lashon Hara. It's not the case. He really wasn't going to say anything. He really wasn't going to say anything. But what happened? He was very moved by Shaul's plea. You see? He was in front of a Melech. That's, I mean, to be in the presence of a Melech is a very powerful kind of a state that it creates in people. You know, it's not just, you know, when you read Tanakh, you, a lot of times you fail to realize, you know, because you're sitting comfortably in these situations. You fail to understand the situation. But it's in front of the Melech Yisrael, I mean, the presence of a Melech. I mean, if somebody was going in front of the president, you're all nervous and all shaking. And then the president is just an elected Yisrael, one of the most powerful people in the world at the time. And the Melech is pleading and is complaining, and he did give Sadas Akramim, and the argument is not completely crazy. And he's saying, where is the loyalty for what I did for you? And and because of that he responded. So he responded under the coercion of a very powerful, emotionally laden situation. It wasn't Stam that he went to talk Lashon Hara. Very difficult for a person to anticipate such an emotional state. I mean, especially when the Melech pleads to an individual who is lower than him. It's a certain kind of a state that's an affect that's produced in the individual. You have to understand, this is not a simple situation. Only then did he respond. He didn't say a word before. As a matter of fact, you see, he didn't say anything because that's what Shaul was complaining about. He says, "Oh my avodah vein goles ozni." So he didn't run to reveal to Shaul anything. He held himself back. But under the pressure of the moment, with the emotional reaction to the plea of Shaul, he answered. And for that, that's the kind of Lashon Hara he spoke. And he's considered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him a Rasha, a Baal Lashon Hara. He has no place in Olam Haba, no chelik in Torah, zero. It's an amazing one moment. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, so what's the answer? It was a momentary lapse. The answer is, see, Chazal say that he was really a Baal Lashon Hara. He was a Baal Lashon Hara, which means that he was prone to that kind of a, to that kind of a, to that weakness. To the weakness of Lashon Hara was not uprooted from him. So therefore, at the moment, when the moment arose, he caved in. But I want you to understand, he wasn't an overt Russian in the sense that people think, that he ran to speak Lashon Hara. You see, he didn't do it. As much as he was an Eved of Shaul, and as much as he would have gotten rewarded, obviously, if he would have spoken it first, and he knew it, but he still refrained. Only under pressure did he reveal what happened, and for that he's considered the worst Rosh. Why? Because what a person does under pressure is merely an indication of the level of his perfection in general. A person cannot become perfected in that, cannot hope to become perfected in the moment when he's in an Nesoya. If he is perfected before, then he'll be Omeiv Nesoyan. But if he's not perfected, the Nesoyan is going to destroy him. And basically, that's what happened with Doeg HaDomi. So Doeg HaDomi wasn't... what Chazal will explain about Doeg, they have to understand, he was a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't just a plain person. You see, he wasn't a person that didn't know about Lashon Hara. But it means as much as he knew about Lashon Hara and Hilchus Lashon Hara, and more than anybody else, he was an Av Bezdin and the greatest Talmud Chacham, but nevertheless, that's what they say, min ha-sofa ulechutz, but it didn't really affect him in terms of driving him to perfection, to uproot the midah of Lashon Hara. The midah of Lashon Hara. And that's why I mentioned, people put a lot of emphasis on the Maisa. It's not that, as much as what Chazal are trying to tell you is that the Maisa and learning the Halachas and knowing the Halachas is not going to help the individual. There's no one that knew the Halachas better than Doeg HaDomi. It's impossible. He's the greatest Talmud Chacham. But it means that he knew the Halachas as a great Talmud Chacham, but he never used his knowledge to uproot the midah of Lashon Hara. That shows you that really there's no way to, as I said before, what Chazal mean when Chazal say that in Talmud Chacham Hu Yasad B'Torah, it's not just a simple matter. I mean, it doesn't mean you open a Gemara and you learn a Tesis and that's going to take care of Lashon Hara. That's not what it means. Because Doeg HaDomi knew how to learn Tesis very well, and Bias of Bayan Ravi knew very well, and nevertheless it didn't help me. I knew all Hilchas Lashon Hara backwards and forwards, it did not help me. What Chazal are teaching you is that in Lashon Hara you're dealing with a Midah Ra'ah, Midas Ha'odam, and unless the knowledge is used to uproot the Midah, it will knock away by itself. That's basically it. So that's why Doeg HaDomi, you see, is a perfect depiction. He didn't run to talk Lashon Hara because he knew how to talk Lashon Hara. But under the pressure, he caved in because the midah was there. The midah was there. That's the pasuk. That's the pasuk. Vatisa brisi aleficha. That's the pasuk. Vatisa brisi aleficha. It means that he's learning day and night. He's otzel Hashem. Otzel Hashem in front of all my white osik batara. Kol yamav. Vatisa brisi aleficha. It's an amazing chazal. Wow. Yeah, he'd still be a Russia, because the Mida. He didn't become a Rosh. That's actually, you make a mistake. That's what I'm telling you. Read that Dhamma to Chavos of Olas. Keep repeating it. But people make a mistake because they want an easy way out of perfection. And that is Maisei HaMitzvah. There's no easy way. Not Maisei HaMitzvah, not Dhamma Torah. These are all the greatest means and vehicles, but they are not the end in themselves. And as long as a person thinks that if Doeg HaDomi, if that incident wouldn't have happened, he'd be a tzaddik gomer. No way. Then you're thinking it's purely in terms of Maisa. But that's the whole limit, is just the opposite. It's not Maisa. He caved in because he was a Russian before that. He didn't cave in because it is not the moment. The moment is a revelation on the person. And the aim of Kala Tarakula is to change the person, not to be prevented from the event. That's why I will tell you, I mean, there is a philosophy that people believe that simply to be marchik themselves from Avera, so there's a philosophy of, for instance, of isolationism. People say, I'll sit in the room all my life, I'll sit and learn, I won't see anybody, I won't talk Lashon Hara, I won't do this, I won't do any Averis. The Torah never recommended such a thing. You'll never find the Avos, you'll never find David HaMelech, no such idea. That's a nonsensical idea. That's a person that thinks that the whole thing is Maisa. On the contrary, the person is supposed to perfect himself, and the interaction with the kohol and doing what he has to do, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in a certain sphere and a certain type of existence and a certain plane of existence, is the area that is the arena of perfection. And it's a person that believes in isolationism, which is to run away and hide in a room. So he never, let's say a person would stay in a room, well, never speak Lashon, never speak to anybody. That's it. So, well, working better than that, there's no way he can speak Lashon. This is a waste of time. This is a person that thinks that the whole thing is, if I do that action, then I'm damned. It's the action is the thing. It's the perfection of the individual. That's why you'll never find any of the individuals that the Torah represents as the personalities of greatness in Torah, that they ever did a thing like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the Russian bullet.
Yeah. Gayim have such an idea. I mean, Gayim, that's what Gayim, yeah.
The Russian
bullet. Like silence?
That's on the contrary. That proves the point. But the Daber Miriam Bachosa, Miriam Chas V'Sholom was not a Balas Lashon Hara. You can't say that. Doeg Adam was a Bal Lashon Hara. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. That's the difference. And that's why I told you it is not the Maisa, but that proves again, it's the perfection of the individual. But that, the fact that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara was a revelation of an imperfection, but Doeg Adam was a Bal Lashon Hara. That's the difference. The Bal Lashon Hara, that's the difference. It means the Midah was there and it was never uprooted. That's the difference. No, Miriam was a situation where she did a terrible Avera, but the Avera was terrible, but the personality was a tzaddikus. That's a different thing. Your question shows you're still putting emphasis on Maisa. If a person does something that's wrong, it has to be an indication of an imperfection. The level of the imperfection is dependent upon the nature of the person, not upon the Maisa necessarily. Onesh doesn't prove. So Onesh is not the way to measure, nor is Maisa the way to measure. But the true measure is the personality, the individual. The Levada Kodesh Baruch Hu is the only one that can measure. And that's why Chazal make a point of mentioning that a Kodesh Baruch Hu called him a Rasha. Because then you know that he was in spite of the fact he was a Talmud Chacham, he was a Talmud Chacham Rasha. Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu called him Rasha. Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu Klai Yisrael. He's the only one who knows. So it's the individual and the perfection that's significant, not the Maisa. Maisa plays a role, but not the role that people think it plays. Yeah. Right. And the Navi is a Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim, Navi. That's the only, you're right. Only for the Navi. Yeah. I don't know. But the idea that emerges from Chazal when you study about Lashon Hara is that it is a midah in the individual. And the question is, I mean, Levi's question is, how can a person uproot it? I mean, you talk about working on your midas. Working, what does it mean? What does it mean? Nice phrase, but well, how do you do it? Okay, yeah. The first step is to understand it. I mean, that's the first step. But das chachma musar means without chachma, there's no musar. So the first step is to really understand and to be able to identify what Lashon Hara is. What is it? That's the first step. Yeah. Mi Oysha Chavetz Chaim Oyv Yomim L'Ros Tov is showing you that it is basically, it involves a distortion in living. That's what the Pasuk says. Mi Oysha Chavetz Chaim Oyv Yomim L'Ros Tov. It means it's a distorted personality, a distorted individual, and that's why the person will never attain any happiness, because the personality is distorted. So we have to understand, what is the distortion of the personality? That's the question. Okay, what is the distortion of the personality? You see, the pasuk says the pasuk Chazal called Matasal Baro Hagibor. Okay, then it says Havos. Next pasuk Havos Tachshav Lashonecha. Havos, it means Havos means the imaginations of the mind. Tachshov l'shon nechos, and Mitzvah says, l'fisha ha-loshon tegale machsheves ha-lev. Omar, tachshov l'shon nechos. So basically, what is the pasuk saying? The pasuk is saying that in the lashon, in the speech, the instinctual components of the lev find their expression. You see, the instinctual components of the individual find their expression in the speech, in the lashon. Now the question is, which instinct basically is the pasuk talking about? You have to understand what the instinctual component is. Which instinct is the pasuk talking about? Yeah.
So
there is a pasuk. The pasuk says, the famous pasuk about Balashon, Umay Yisron Lebal HaLashon. Umay Yisron Lebal HaLashon. Yeah. Because that's the Chazal say the mashal with the snake. Now why does the snake have to inject the poison? So the snake answers back, "My yisron lebal alashon." It is, in other words, it's just like the mashal that Chazal give is the mashal from the snake. I say, "Oh, the snake bites, but why does he have to inject the venom?" You see, so the snake answers back, "My yisron lebal alashon." What about what kind of, what are you asking me the question, and what do you gain out of lashon hara? So basically, it shows you that chazal, that pasuk really shows you what it is, and what has to be recognized. Basically, now you see, if a person does evil, he has a motive. He has a motive, which means to say, let's say a person steals. So he wants to, he has a goal. I mean, he wants to take the money. He wants to have pleasure. So that's not, then there's no my yisron lebal alashon. There's a yisron. I mean, you can't say my yisron leganef. I mean, big yisron. So it's a different thing. You have the different arguments against the ganef. But the arguments against the bal lashon hara seems to be that there's no gain. Now, what does it mean there's no gain? What does that show you in man? It shows you an interesting thing. It shows you that there is a part of man that just enjoys the evil for the sake of inflicting evil, inflicting pain in another individual. You see, that's my yisron lebal alashon, because it means he gains nothing from it. So it means that there is an instinctual component in man that's inexplicable. You see, what happens, the problem with the normal psychology is that many times they try to explain things, and in explaining, you have to make recourse to the rational mind. So in the process of making recourse to the rational mind, you try to make sense out of it. So a lot of things escape the individual, because when you're dealing with an area of emotion, the emotion does not make sense. And people confuse the idea of making sense, which is a part of the mind, with the emotion. You say, well, why did he do it? You see, like, why did he do it? I mean, like people ask, that's an accusation that's lodged against the Jews. Who was it? Golda Meir. And they say, well, why are you Jews always attacked? I mean, what's the logic? There must be some logic. There must be some reason for it. You see? But that's exactly what Chazal understood, what the Navi explains. And that is, there is an inexplicable element in man, a vicious component in his nature, which just enjoys viciousness without any benefit. I mean, and as long as man doesn't recognize that element and that emotion, there's no way that he can protect himself against it. If he denies it and tries to rationalize and tries to make himself into something that he isn't, then he'll never be able to face this midah. In order to face the midah, the individual has to recognize that it exists. If he refuses to recognize that it exists, then he will. Then he's in the greatest danger. You see, and that by the way, is really the answer to what the another question that the unfortunate conservative Jews, Reform Jews, lodge against us with regard to karbanis, But how can you do kabbanis? I mean, killing animals. I mean, the migdash. I mean, what kind of a primitive thing is that? After all, and it's a shame for the animal. But basically, in kabbanis is a recognition of what man really is and his instinctual nature. Straight. You see, it's an identification, like the Ramban says, with the animal, because through that the individual doesn't fool himself into thinking that he's something that he's not. You see, the Nazis were very refined, the worst Rishei Olam ever. So the denial of the nature of man is really the greatest obstruction to any kind of progress, ethical progress in man. As long as man wants to look away from his nature and doesn't want to recognize what he has and what he is, there's no way that he could ever attain any perfection. And that's really what the pasuk says. My yisron labala lashon. What does it mean? It means that as much as it sounds paradoxical, that should be the case, because when a person grows up, a person tries to think rationally. So rational thought is very good. But you can't rationalize emotions or instincts in man that aren't rational and try to deny their existence. You understand what I'm saying? So basically, the first thing is, my yisron labala lashon is the recognition that in every individual there is an instinctual nature to simply love, to enjoy inflicting evil in somebody else. You see? That's the positive, my yisron labala lashon. And unless a person recognizes that in his nature, there's no way that he can uproot it, because he simply denies its existence. But basically, that's the pasuk. That's one. Now, you see, essentially, lashon hara is tied to. It really is not just one thing. As I want to show you, that it is not just one thing. And that's why it's the mark of perfection, to be able, Netzor Lashon Chamera, is the mitzvah that is the mark of perfection. One element is that element, and that's why it's elusive. It's elusive because there are several elements involved in it. You see? There are several elements involved in it. There is no doubt that it also partakes of the aggressive emotion. There's no question. That's why the pasuk says Russia. Where the pasuk says Ahavta Rami Tov. You see? So the Kesar Maluta Shosei Ramiya. So it, there's no question it involves the aggressive component in man too. But to say it's just aggressive would not be accurate, because then it would be denial of my yisron labala lashon. There must be a recognition that there are two trends there. There is, of course, the aggressive, but there is also another element there as well. So even though Doeg Gadomi reacted under a certain situation to a certain state, because it was a certain state of mind, and he wanted, he was, as a matter of fact, he was moved by loyal feelings into doing that, because that was the scene. That he was moved by loyalty to his melech. I mean, after all, his melech Yisrael. But nevertheless, in that action of revealing where David was, there was an element of just enjoying the downfall of David HaMelech. For no other reason than just the fact that he destroyed him, or thought he's going to destroy him. You see? That element was there. That's my yisron labala lashon. So you see an action which on the surface appears to be an action which would be very, very excusable. I mean, he was under a certain, very special, how often does the melech turn to his people, I mean, and beg him to help him out? I mean, such a kind of a situation. But nevertheless, in spite of that, what Chazal tell us, that underlying that maisa was the enjoyment of destroying or attempting to destroy David HaMelech for no Vira Kohanim and Achimelech for the sake of just destroying them. So the aggressive, to say the aggressive element is there as well. There's no question about it. I mean, we'll see, take another pasuk as well. You see that the aggressive element is there too. But the mistake that people make is that because that, you see, when a person, you have to understand, when you're studying psychology, psychology is different than physics. Like in physics, when you're looking for the cause, so you want to know why a rock falls. So you don't look for 10 reasons, you see. You look for one reason. Right? Once you discover gravity, that's it. That's it. Now you're going to the next problem. Okay? But in psychology, it's not that simple. In psychology, people make a mistake and they try to apply the methods of physics to psychology. So they say, well, why did the person speak Lashon Hara? So it's a question, I think it's a question like this. Well, oh, it's an aggressive instinct. Oh, we found the answer. Okay, that's it. You see? Psychology is not the same. It's a different kind of a science. It's a different kind of, oh, in physics, when you find the answer, it should be one answer. If it's many answers, it means you don't understand what's happening. But in psychology, it's just the opposite. If you, it's easy to stop at one answer, which you think that should satisfy you looking for the cause. So now the cause has been satisfied. Okay, so now we have the solution. It's a different kind of an area. Over there, on the contrary, over there, the one answer that seems to be the answer is usually not the answer, you see. So to say that Lashon Hara is aggression is really a denial of the of an underlying instinctual component of rishis for the sake of rishis, you see, which is an underlying element in man. And why does man do that? There's no reason. That's what it means. That's what the Nachash says, my Yisrael Abawa, don't try to find the reason. Try to find the reason, make a mistake. It's an instinct. It's an instinct in man, and there's no reason for it. Yeah. Okay. Let me clarify. The aggressive element has an objective and a purpose. You see, Remiyah really is aggression, because in Remiyah, what are you doing? You're being deceitful, and you have an ulterior motive because you want to take something, you want to gain something from the person. I mean, that's what it is. Why is a person a Rama? A person's not a Rama. Because he just wants to be, just because he wants to speak Ramos, but he's a Ramai as an objective. What is the objective of the Ramai? Is to use the other person to get something out of the other person. Excuse me. Yeah, same thing. Over there, they yet. Yeah. Like remember, they had an objective. They wanted to destroy them. That's a separate question over there. A separate question whether it was right or wrong, isn't it? But the process is the identical process. That's what a pasuk is mirma. Okay. But sometimes a tzaddik has to use different methods. But that's a different thing. Okay. But at any rate, the ramos, the lashon remiyah, is the aggressive element. You see, the aggressive element could be explained in common terms. It has an explanation. People understand it. It makes sense. The other aspect, which is just as deeply rooted, and maybe even more deeply rooted, is my yisrael l'baal lashon. Is just the enjoyment of destroying the other person. I mean, for no reason at all. It's never a question. It's never a legitimate question to ask why were you the victim of this individual? That's a stupid question, because the assumption is that everything that a person does is for a rational reason, but it's not true. There's evil in man for the sake of evil itself. And that's expressed in Lashon Hara. That's my Yisrael Abal Lashon. That's the nature of man. It's an instinct in man. If he's not aware of it, he'll never be able to protect himself against it. If he's aware of it, then he has a chance that he can recognize it and work and uproot it. Okay? Yeah. Psychology is a different kind of science. What's the motive? Say, what's the motive? The motive is the enjoyment of seeing the other person being destroyed. That's not aggression. No. Aggression is where you have an objective. Aggression is, an army is aggressive. It means they come in and they take, it's aggression. Aggression is really not legitimate ambition. Okay? Basically, they're very closely related. And you see that in the world those two terms are used almost. We have an aggressive policy. Ambition and aggression are very instinctually they're the same. But when it's permissible, it's called ambition. When it's not permissible, it's called aggression. But it's the same. It's the exact same thing, which is the objective to use the individual's power to attain what they want. The aggressive element is existent in Lashon Hara without a doubt. But that's not the only. To explain Lashon Hara with the aggressive instinct alone would not be correct. The Navi does not accept that. My Yisrael Lebal Lashon. If you don't recognize another element there, you don't understand Lashon Hara. Yeah. But the Navi went further. The Navi didn't stop here. Two elements, but the Navi identified another element in Lashon Hara as well. Another element. And that's what the Chazal called the Pasuk. Pasuk is... by the way, the Chazal is in Erechim Daf Tesvav Amabez. Va'omar Resh Lakish. May dechsev en yishoch ha-nochosh belo lachash ve'ein yisron lebal ha-lashon. Okay, lasid lovo miskapsas kolachayis and boros etzel nachash vamrim ari doris vochal zev torif vochal ata ma no yesh lecha omer lehem v'chi ma yisrael lebal haloshem. That's the Gemara, that's the Chazal. Yep, that's what the Navi identified exactly. The Mashal states clearly that unless you recognize in man that instinct, then you're denying what is a part of man's nature, instinctual nature, a significant instinctual component of his nature. And if you deny it, then there's no hope for the person to ever protect themselves against it. It's impossible. Basically, I mean, in the Torah, you have a representation of that in the Torah. Where do you have it? In Bereshis, it's the third civilization. The first civilization is the Dor HaMabul. Okay, that's the door of Taiva, the Bale Basar, the Taiva is Dor HaMabul, and that's Gezel and lawlessness and just complete freedom, lust, and no restraints. That's the Dor HaMabul. Then you have the second civilization, is the Dor HaFlaga. On the contrary, very organized, very controlled, and completely consumed with their own ego. Nasalon Hashem, that's the egoistic society. And what is the third society? Sodom. That's the vicious society. Why was Sodom vicious? Because for its own sake? For its own sake? Because they recognized they weren't in modern, they didn't have modern man's denial, because modern man is coming off of a certain kind of a social culture which fosters denial, you see. But they didn't have that. They didn't have that, namely Christianity. But they didn't have that culture. So on the contrary, they were very honest, and they recognized, you know something? Man has an instinctual nature that he enjoys just being vicious. He enjoys viciousness, being sadistic for its own sake. So they set up a whole society like that. They said, no, well, but the only problem is that if you do that towards each other, you have no society. So they had a very simple solution. Strangers will do it, us we won't. And that's why they had the Shofet. That was the Mishpat. That had courts. You can't have a system without courts and without laws. So the only thing is, but that was their philosophy. Their philosophy was to enjoy that instinctual component in man. There's no reason why we should deny it. That's the third civilization.
They shouldn't
let they respected because they respected intelligence. And they knew he was his nephew Avram, and they respected him. They weren't stupid people. They had a philosophy. They had a system. They weren't stupid. The Lord Yosher B'Shastam, I mean, his judge. Yeah. That's the thing. You have a naive, people have a very naive idea when they read the Torah. They don't understand what the Torah is telling them. But you see, there's an amazing thing. There was actually a civilization that was based on this instinctual component of my Yisrael Lebala Washington. You're right. That's right. That's exactly what Chazal is saying. Ari Doris V'Ochel. That's aggression. That's aggression. The Ari Doris V'Ochel. Those are the examples of the aggression. Yeah, he wants something. He wants it, so he grabs it. That's aggressive. But aggression is within the realm of the explicable. But this component of Lashon Hara is inexplicable because the only motivation. You say, what's the motivation? The motivation is the pleasure itself.
The pleasure itself.
That's it. So this component is recognized in the Torah, in Sefer Bereishis, in the third civilization, and you see, and the Navi shows that it's not, it didn't die with Sodom. I mean, Sodom was destroyed, but the people, but man is still partakes of the same instincts of those people that lived in Sodom. Yeah.
So the ones who are
the biggest deniers, I mean, it is the Christians. I mean, that's the Christians. The Christians are total denial, and they think that they're saintly. I mean, that's a total denial. Exactly. That's Midas Dom. Cover some Midas. Cover Midas Dom. That's exactly Midas Dom. Yeah. That's a Zen and a Zen and a Zolachasim. So why do you care? Kofen Asol Midas Dom. If it doesn't exist, so what is the Gemara doing Kofen Asol? You're going to say it doesn't exist. You don't have to have Kofen Asol Midas Dom. Okay, Kofen Asol Midas Dom means that Chazal recognized that it exists, and therefore they intervened, and they wouldn't allow a person to give vent to that emotion. So if it bothers a person that somebody's standing on somebody else's lawn and enjoying the sunshine, so that's Dom. That's Midas Dom. So Kofen Asol. We don't let him get away with it. It's a very prominent idea in Torah, that concept. But like I say, I mean, we come from a culture of denial, so people don't talk about it. But to do that, I mean, it's really just to feed the Yetzer Hara, to feed the instinctual nature of man. I mean, not to recognize it, and is just the person can't work on it. Can't work on it. But I want you to understand, it doesn't mean. You see, like I said, it's not physics. Don't think that now you have what Lashon Hara is. You have one cause. It doesn't deny the coexistence of a purely aggressive trend as well. As a matter of fact, the aggressive trend usually covers up the vicious trend. You understand what I mean? Because the aggression sounds like there's some reason for it. So therefore you can rationalize it, you see. Okay, the two trends coexist, and one is not one answer. But now you see you have two powerful trends, okay? But now there's a third one that the Navi really identifies as well. As I mentioned last week, the Perek that talks about Lashon Hara, there's a few of them in Tehillim, one of them is Perek Yud-Beis, okay? Okay. Now, then it says like this. Yachres Hashem called Sifsei Chalakos. We mentioned the glib tongue. Lashon Medaberes Gidolos. What is that? Gidolos. Then it goes on. Asher Omru Lil Shonenu Nagbir. Sfasenu Itanu Miyodon Lano. Now that's a different. Now the Navi is going into a different component of Lashon Hara. You see? Medaber Gedolos, and the person says, Lulshonenu Nagbir, they put the confidence in the power of their speech, you see, so that the speech becomes glorified into a powerful force, and they overestimate their power because of their ability to verbalize and to use the glib tongue in attaining their goals, you see. That's the next component of Lashon Hara. So you see that in Lashon Hara, the Echazal, I mean the Navi identifies another trend, not the vicious, besides the aggressive, there is the megalomaniac egoistic trend is also there. Because the person that speaks Lashon Hara feels confident that he will succeed, and I'll show you something. Well, maybe he doesn't feel confident. What's the right? He feels confident. Now, because we're talking about a Baal Lashon Hara, and essentially what the Navi teaches, what the Navi teaches in Chazal is that a Baal Lashon Hara is moved to Lashon Hara not because of one trend. See, one trend the person can deal with, but when there's a confluence, in other words, a few instinctual components combine, then a person is basically helpless. You see? Because the aggressive, the vicious trend, and now the egoistic, the megalomaniacal trend where he ascribes superpowers to his actions, namely to his verbalization. So the Navi teaches that verbalization can become an area of the overestimation of the egoistic power of the individual. And in Lashon Hara, it's always found. In other words, what Chazal is saying is that in Lashon Hara, the Baal Lashon Hara always overestimates the harm that he is doing and the attainment of his goal through this process. There's an overestimation. He does harm. There's no question he does harm. But there is also, at the same time, a tremendous overestimation of the power that he has in through this medium. You see? That's as it Asher Amru Shonenu Nagbir, that's the pasuk. That's Fasenu Itanu Miyadamanu. Who could stop us? You see? It means to say that in Lashon Hara there's another trend. The trend, the megalomania trend. The trend that the person has omnipotence through his speech. See, omnipotence through his speech. That trend is always there. It's always there. And that's why, although a person does inflict harm through Lashon Hara, he will overestimate Lashon Hara as a medium of his success. There's a tremendous overestimation involved there, too. He's harmful, but not like he thinks. You see. So basically in Lashon Hara, you have three powerful instinctual forces combined. The force of the viciousness, dom, midas dom, viciousness for the sake of viciousness. Then you have the aggressive component, which is the individual using his power in order to his ambition, the ambitious trend. And then the third is it caters to a very primitive component of man's nature, and that is that he has somehow some kind of omnipotence and power, you see, in himself, and that he can bring about through his speech, through his verbalization, through the verbalization. Okay? That's what you're dealing with Lashon Hara. Okay. Lashon Hara has many, many components to it, aspects, I should say. But what we have identified here is the instinctual components. There's much more to talk about Lashon Hara, the evil that it does in terms of. We'll get to that also. But it's a whole picture. I mean, Lashon Hara is really in that one thing. There's the whole Derech Hara is all in there. Okay, you'll see it. You'll see it in practice with slander. You see, people will think that they can destroy other people through slander. Not so simple. So, I mean, if it's slander that there's something to it, so what really destroys the person is the facts behind the slander. But just slander, if you, for instance, try to slander somebody at random, you may think you're going to destroy them, it will hardly affect them. Maybe temporarily. I'm not saying people have never suffered through slander. There's no question about it. You could be in a certain situation where all the components just line up and the individual could be temporarily, you know, destroy the slander. But generally speaking, slander really, in a normal case, it usually turns back on the slanderer. It causes him more harm than the other individual. It is completely, in the reality of it, is completely disproportionate, almost in the opposite to the imagination of the one that does it at the time that they do. That's the puzzle. Asher Omru Lo Shonenu Na. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So one question with an answer was the question of what does Mirma have to do with Lashon Hara? Right? But we said, well, that's clear. It's always brought together, and they're almost interchangeable. They're interchangeable. And when the Gemara talks about Lashon Hara, the Gemara quotes Lashon Ramiya. Pasmait and Lachamay is Lashon Ramiya. So you see they're interchangeable, but the question is, they're two different things really. Lashon Hara is a very specific Surah, and Mirma is a different thing. It's not Mirma is not Lashon Hara, actually. By Adaber, Pasuk now? Vayan of Neyakov is. Right? Vayikach birchas secha is not lashon hara. It's not nothing to do with lashon hara. So it's a totally different thing. You're not talking about anybody at all. You're relating to a specific individual in a very special way. Okay, it's basically trickery. Okay. So that's a question. But you see that mirma, it's not just coincidental, I mean, or just accidental that mirma and lashon hara are grouped together, because you have a tefillah. You say it every day after Shemon Esrei. Elokai, Tzor Lashonchem Meira, Sfasai Midaber Mirma. So you see that mirma and lashon hara is not just a matter of lashon. Somebody says lashon akasev or something. I mean, you see that both of them are tied together, and even though they're two different things, there's a common root for both, and both are evil. Both are evil. He said, "Man, I want you to understand. I mean, lashon hara is a halachic. Lashon hara has a halachic profile. In other words, there's a halachic description of lashon hara. It's a halachic description." But in terms of perfection, the Navi, and you see the tefillah includes them both, because in terms of perfection, since they have the same root, doesn't make any difference. A person will not talk lashon hara and only be involved in mirma. He's not going to be perfected. Okay, yeah, lashon hara has its own orbit, so to speak. It has a lot of things in lashon hara. I mean, it's each thing in Yahadis, you can't lump things together. Everything has its own characteristics and its own features. So lashon hara is a separate entity. But nevertheless, with regard to perfection, it's impossible for a person to abstain from lashon hara and engage in mirma and think that he's perfecting himself. That's absurd. Okay. So the question is, what's the connection? Now, last week we identified that we said that the Navi identifies in lashon hara three instinctual trends that combine. Okay, yeah, the first was the aggressive trend, ra, correct? And so the ra means aggression. Okay, so evil is aggression. The second trend we said is the vicious trend. Okay, simply viciousness, the sadistic trend. Vicious, man's innate vicious, without an objective, just simply to cause pain in another individual. That's the second trend. Where what's the source for that? Ma Yisrael Labala Lashon. That's where the Gemara gives the elaborate mushel of the snake, the Nachash. And they ask the Nachash, what do you gain by injecting venom? Why don't you just bite like another animal? So the Gemara says, yeah, and why does man speak lashon hara? So you see that and that's from a pasuk, my guess from about lashon. So you see the Navi identified in man an intrinsically vicious instinct. That's the second one. And the third one was what? Was the egoistic instinct, because the pasuk says that until Yud Beis, when the pasuk describes, there's a few prakim until that describe lashon hara, but Yud Beis, Chazal point out, Yud Beis, what does it say? Asher Amru Lul Shoneinu Nagbir. What's the rest of the part? Yeah, but before lashon medaber gvoros, right? Lashon Labar is Yachrei said Hashem called Sifsei Chalakos. Okay, that's the smooth tongue. The Lashon Medaber is Gedolos. Asher Omru Lul Shoneinu Nagbir. Sfaseinu Itanu. We have our speech. Mi Adam Lanu. Who can rule over us? So that we said that Chazal identified that in every act of lashon hara, there's an overestimation of the person who speaks the lashon hara, of his power of inflicting harm on another individual. Yeah. So that's the omnipotence of his speech. That is his speech. He with his speech can create tremendous harm in another human being. I mean, that's the possibility.